Well, I don't know about you, but one of the things increasingly I'm becoming mindful of, and it's of deep concern to me, is the state of our churches. Not the world. Not the world. It's a house of God. It's a house of God. And I often ask myself this personal question. What kind of legacy am I going to leave behind? As a Christian, and my prayer is that, Lord, please, don't let me not finish the work that you've called me to do. I want to finish what he's called me to and be able to hear that voice, good and faithful servant, but also be able to pass on a baton that is so worthy of him. And it's my heart's cry. You know, when you fall short of the glory of God and you wonder, Lord, how am I going to do this? But we can learn from examples in the past. And we look at Joshua, one of many Christian heroes. And I was really encouraged to see the Christian heroes of the Reformation upon the wall. Sometimes we need to go back to history and learn from history. So here we have Joshua. Joshua was passed, Moses passed on the baton unto Joshua. Now he's about to die, he's on his deathbed, and he says in 23, he says, Joshua was old and advanced in years. Joshua called all the Israelites, all the elders and the heads and the judges and officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in years. And you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all the nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. Verse 6 of 23. Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Verse 14. Now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls, that not one word of all the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. In verse 24, chapter 24, Joshua reveals Israel's history. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and their judges, and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Verse 2. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from an ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, which is Iraq today, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Verse 6. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Verse 13. And I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built. And you have lived in them. You are eaten of the vineyards and olive groves, which you did not plant. Verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him sincerely and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In verse 29, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Who's your God? Who are you serving? Are you serving your wealth, your prosperity, your tradition, the church? Who's your God? What are you serving? Can you and I say we are truly in submission to him? Or are we playing church? You see, in the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, there is a dialogue between God and the people of Israel in which God claims that his people have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements? That's Malachi 3:14. They complained that the arrogant were blessed, evildoers prospered, and even those who challenged God escaped. Verse 15. However, in verse 18 of the same chapter, God promises that one day the people of God will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. And across the centuries, people have been assured by such promises. A central dilemma of how to live our lives in our time in the face of evil and wickedness in our society and still fulfill our primary purpose and destiny to give glory to God. David nearly 3,000 years ago, only the context has changed. Today we have more sophisticated technology. We live longer. If you ate it, you're still a spring chicken today. We can cure more diseases. But the human heart remains the same, unchanged. Pride, arrogance, self-interest still dominates now as always. And if the problem has always been the same, so has the solution. God's redeeming love is unchanging. His desire to see his people walking with confidence in the internal assurance of that love. King David had many, many failings. King David, in all his ups and downs, did not pretend it was easy. He offers no excuses for himself or for us. But the advice is there. It is for us to come to accept and learn to live. Just as David, Paul, Noah, Abraham, or Priscilla, or every saint of God learned to live in the context of their time. As Christians, we have got to learn to live in the context of our time. The world is not going to change, but we have to change. A few days ago, I was listening to the BBC, the Bias Broadcasting Corporation. And there was a vice chancellor. And she was questioning this, what they call a safe space. They have them at university places, something called safe space, where you are not allowed to discuss anything or say anything that is controversial. So you all have to be going about like zombies. Zombies. And she said, and challenged this, and said, we need a courageous space where students can openly discuss controversial subjects. Topics such as abortion, Israel, Brexit, without taking offense. Without being shut down. And the vice chancellor then remarked, university should be a place where free speech is allowed and debated, instead of it becoming a place not how to think, but instead what to think. And students are being told what to think. You are not allowed to think anymore. Because somebody somewhere finds it offensive. And today, sadly, it's coming to our church. And we should expect it. Because the wheat and the tares will grow together. If you have a church, there are no sinners. You got problems because they become very theological. Do it my way or, you know, spiritual. And the argument goes on. And a church should be a place where there should be no go areas. And whatever we say, people will always find it offensive. If you preach salvation, I'm offended because there are many other ways. It's not what society tells us. But Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And if that offends you, Jesus did what I'm saying. But to say this, the world says, you're a bigot. You are a fundamentalist. You are extreme. You are an evangelical. You are exclusive. And today, what do we have? You see, the living God whom we worship, whom we serve, is both inclusive and exclusive. And in the middle of this, God has given each one of us free will. Choose this day whom you will serve. If it's the God of the world, go out and go and serve the God of the world and enjoy him to the maximum. But Jesus said, if it is me, then serve me. Serve me wholeheartedly. So Joshua in his impartation, it says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord regardless of what goes on out there. As in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot, so shall it be. So shall it be. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our willful determination and right to our choice will shape our thinking on ultimately our spiritual destiny. So Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. I am eternal life. The question is God fair? Is God love? Is God inclusive? Is God exclusive? And what should the church preach? Well, you see, God is fair. 2 Chronicles 19:7. Now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Judge carefully, for with God, with the Lord, our God, there is no injustice or partiality or bribery. God is not for sale. God will not be bought. God has made himself available for the rich and for the poor. Any human being can access God. You don't have to come to church to know God. You could be in your garden, gardening away, and God will speak to you. But you see, he will bring you to a point of salvation. But what we have today, we have church, and we don't have believers. We have Christians who would say, well, I go to church every day. So that makes me a Christian. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. Church, going to the church, being a member of the church does not make you a Christian. Jesus said, to be a Christian, you must be born again. Irrespective whether you're rich or whether you're poor. The same rule for all. All must be born again. Genesis 18:17. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? God is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, shall I hide it from my people, the righteous one? No, not at all. God makes a distinction. Serving God will never be in vain. It's not in vain to serve God. God will always set the righteous for himself. Yes, in this world we will have trouble. It says that in scripture. So if you're a Christian, expect to have trouble. And if you don't have any trouble, then I wonder if you're a Christian. We should expect trouble. There is trouble in the air. I'm always having trouble, me. I think my lot. Hey, how I survive this, I don't know. Colossians 3:25. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Christ who you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. And there is no favoritism. You see, God looks at the human heart. And whether that heart is born again. What does it mean to be born again? When you come to Christ and you go on your knees, it means you are in submission to him. You can do church and not be in submission to God. Do you know that? You can put the hours in, but not bow the knee. And Jesus said, anyone who comes into my kingdom, whether you're rich, you're poor, you have to bow the knee in repentance and ask for the forgiveness of sins. Obviously, this is offensive, isn't it? You're not preaching what I want to hear. You're telling me something else. Deuteronomy 32:4-5. He is a rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. Romans 2:11. For God does not show favoritism. God does not show favoritism. God is not interested what color you like. God is not interested what position you hold. God is not interested in your theology. What God is interested in is, are you in submission to him and doing out, carrying out his will? Even Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world and says publicly, I have not come to do my will. I've come to do the will of him who sent me. In submission to him. Well, we have a generation of Christians who don't believe they have to be in submission to the will of God. Well, God shows no favor. He's a God of justice. So we've established that God is fair. God will not overlook somebody in favor of you and nor the opposite. Is God love? Absolutely. 1 John 4:16, God is love. 1 John 4:8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for the sins once and for all. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Again, here we find the scripture of God's word, that not only is he just, he is a God of love. But we have become a generation that twists the word of God. There are all manner of things going out there, where, so long as we love each other, and Christians go by that name, well, I can do it because God loves me. Well, I have a warning for you. Jesus said, if you love me, you do what I say. I don't care how you feel, how I feel. God is not interested in our feelings. If you love me, you will do what I say. Disobedience is rebelliousness. Lawlessness. The very fact that I don't have to do what the Bible says, that means that you don't know him. Because if you do, and you're in a relationship, you do what the other half says. God is love. And there is a distortion of truth that claims otherwise. And sadly, so-called church is buying into all this rubbish and all this nonsense. But as for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. Who are you serving? God is inclusive. It's inclusive. God is impartial. God is a God of justice. He is a God of love. How great is the love of the Father has lavished his love upon us. We have scripture after scripture after scripture affirming the love of God towards his creation. We are all God's creation, but we are not all children of God. We are all God's creation. We were created in his image, after his likeness, not through monkeys or chimpanzees. We were created in his image, after his likeness. We're all God's creation, but we are not all children of God. To be a child of God, you have to be born again. Are you born again? Am I born again? And if you're not born again, why are you not born again? Because that human dilemma, pride, arrogance. I don't need to be born again. I'm all right, Jack. God is a God of impartiality. God is a God of justice. God is a God of truth. You see, God will not compromise his word for any of us. Do you know that? God's judgment will be as it has always been from the beginning of time. You know what amazes me? In the days of Noah, a city of how many thousands? Only Noah and his family were saved. Thousands of people, and only Noah and his family were saved. As in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, only Lot and his family were saved. Thousands of people. And it may be that in our time, only households will be saved. Like, I'm not God. I will not sit in judgment of anyone. But do you know who's your God? Who are you listening to? Are you in submission to the will of God? So the NAB begs for me to ask, is God an exclusive? And the answer is absolutely yes. He's inclusive, absolutely yes. He's exclusive, absolutely yes. Because Jesus said, not all who say, Lord, 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 will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So not everyone who says on a Sunday, Lord, 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 will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And this is Jesus' own words. Not all who say, Lord, 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 will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to say in Matthew, many will come in my name and say, Lord, I did this for you. Lord, I play the piano. Lord, I play the guitar. Lord, I preach the sermons. Lord, I did these miracles in your name. In your name. And Jesus said, I never knew you. So what is that inferring to? In the last days, there will be con men in the church, in the pulpit, living off the people with some kind of Christianity, but not truth. And he says, many will be deceived. And if where possible, even the elect will be deceived. Who are the elect? We are the elect. If it were possible. And today, we've had it at No Green Church. People who come and say they're Christians, they're nothing but thieves. They come into the church to cause dissension among the people and then take people away onto their own little gospel and hide in some cubicles. And they call themselves Christians. You know, Jesus unites. Jesus brings together. Jesus brings love amongst the brethren. And Jesus multiplies where there is unity. We have today, people who say they love the Lord, but they won't commit to anything. Fair weather Christians. They wear a Christianity that fits their brand. And if they don't get it, they go somewhere else. And they go to another church. Oh, it's not mine. They find it for and move on. And what we've ended up with is spiritual gypsies. That's what, nothing but spiritual gypsies. Spending all their lives doing absolutely nothing for the kingdom. Except going to churches, destroy churches, build their own little empire, and then it collapses. And back to square one. I know of one person. And he came to our fellowship. Oh, Chris, this is not right. I'm looking for perfection. You know, I don't like what's going on here. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. And he keeps reading all his books. And it comes and thrown out, oh Lord, I'm fed up with this. Do you know, every time I see him, I said, brother, have you arrived at perfection yet? He said, oh, no, no, no. I said, well, I'm still carrying on. Why are you doing that? Oh, well, I keep reading you. I said, brother, put your hands to the plow. Put your hand to the plow. Put your hand to the plow. God will call you to places you do not want to be at. And praise God. I'm always scratching my hair. So Lord, help me. Give me a way out of here. And all he will say, do you love me? Well, this is what I'm calling you to do. But you know, the gospel message is sweet and sour pork. Every time I go to the Chinese, to go sweet and sour. That's the gospel. It's sweet, but then it's sour. But then it's sweet, and it's sour. And so it goes on. But regardless of all the difficulties, regardless of all the challenges, regardless of all my failings. Do you know, I don't want to be anywhere else but be where God wants me to be. I'd rather die doing it. And at least I can have the audacity to say to God, you know, God, it was hard work. But, Lord, I die doing it, believing it, pursuing it. Not run. I'm no quitter. I'm no runner. And I want to ask you the same question. Are you a quitter? Are you a runner? And if you both are those things, I think you need to get before the Lord and ask the Lord, where do you want me? And he will send you back to the place where you don't want to be at. Because not many of us want to be where God wants us to be. You know, when I was training to be a pastor, I was looking, ooh, and I like to be in the Caribbean. Along this, God loved the sea and my surfboard immediately after service. Come on, I'm going surfing. I'm going surfing. I didn't realize I was going to be among sheep farmers. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And I thought, and then I'm frustrated. I go to the sea. Oh, Lord, I love this sea. Go back to the green pastures. Feed my sheep. You see, we are at our best where we don't want to be, but we're willing to be because God has spoken. God is exclusive. But God doesn't want you and I to be excluded from the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus came, said he came in John 3:16-17, not to condemn the world. The condemnation is yet to come, but to save the world. But you see, because of human pride and the way we are, we're so stubborn, we're like mules, unbending, unwilling, unyielding. Because my theology tells me this. Oh, folks, let's go back to the simplicity of the gospel. Let's go back to the basics. And stop all these theological arguments and debates and, oh dear. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the truth. Jesus said, I am the life. Folks, how more simple can you want this to be? Why can't we not accept it? And this is what the scientists can't get their heads around, ain't it? Such a simple thing, and they become philosophers of art and masters of art, and you can't understand these basic principles and these truths. Are we children of God? Dear friends, in 1 John 4:1, do not believe every spirit, but test every spirit to see whether they are from God. And brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility to weigh off every spirit that comes amongst us. Watch out for the people who want to come in and suddenly want to come into leadership, suddenly criticizing every leadership, and then they run every 3 minutes. They go somewhere else. Watch them. Guard yourselves against such imposters. 1 John 5:2. And this is how we know that we are children of God, that we love one another, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Verse 3, this is the love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. You know, when God, you're doing something out of love, it's never burdensome, is it? But when you're not doing out of love, and it's a chore, that's not God. Because when you love somebody, and you love God, every Sunday, cleaning the floor is a joy. You know, one of the things that I've had to learn when God called me, I said, how do you know it's you, God? It's not my emotions playing up. Because how many of you in love? The next you're not in love. And the next you question, am I in love? Am I not in love? And I said, Lord, how do I know this is you? So I put the Lord to a test. I said, you know, Lord, change my attitude towards your people. Let me love them, that whatever they do to me, there'll be no ounce of bitterness in me. But I'll continue to love and love and love and love. And it's taken years and I'm still learning. And believe me, I have had to learn what it is to love. And I love the saints. I'm going to agree with everything. I love the saints. And God has done this to prove that and confirm that it is He who has called me. And the same should be with all of us, because the whole of the gospel is about loving one another. And if we cannot love one another, how can we love the world out there? Because they will come with all the funny ways and all the funny behaviors and all the funny mindsets. And the only way we win them is true love. Not agreeing with them, but pointing them out, signposting them to Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is very explicit. You know, when Jesus' life on earth, his biggest battle wasn't with the world. It was with the church, the establishment. They despised him because suddenly he's turning the world upside down. They thought he was a revolutionary. Suddenly these priests earning a good living out of these poor people, claiming taxes and doing all manner of things in the house of the Lord. Jesus has come and said, you don't need to do all that. And his biggest battle was with the body, the church. And our biggest battle is not with one another. It's with the church, the mindset of church. But whatever goes on out there, I think we have to accept as believers that the world is going to become worse than what it is today. It's going to get worse because the Bible says that before he returns, it's going to get worse. Look at what's happened these last few years. You have a man who doesn't know whether he's a man. You have a woman who doesn't know whether she's a woman. I'm this, I'm that, I don't know. We're becoming a very confused people. That's one of the signs of the end of age. Confusion will reign. That we don't have anything in common anymore. So there is no such thing as common sense anymore. Because we don't have anything in common. If it's good in your eyes, do it. If it's good in my eyes, do it. It's my right. God has given all of us right to choose. And Joshua, before the people, said, look, I'll tell you, I'm about to die. I'm an old man now, 110 years old. I'm being called. My time is up. But I'll impart what I know, what you've seen God do amongst you. So he tells them. But then he says again, I'm going to give you a bit of history, just in case you haven't got the first one. I'll add history to it. So he pulls out all the evidences of what God had done with the people, children of Israel. But then he concludes and says, you know what? Everything you need to know, I've told you. But as for me, Joshua, my house, we will serve the Lord. And in all of us, the time has come where we all have to make choices. Who are you serving? Who do you want to serve? Who are you going to serve? Who is going to be the God of your house? And my prayer for you and I is that our testimony, the confession of our faith, regardless what goes on in society, as for me and my house, for all our failings, this is what will guide us. Not what politicians tell us. Not what anybody else says. Not what pressure groups tell us what to do. But as for me and my house, we will hold this up in esteem. We will honor every word that comes from it. The blessing of God will come upon you and your household. And not just for you, but for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. So what baton are you and I going to hand over? If you and I were to clog it tomorrow, what will people say about us? You know, one of the things, the job of being a pastor is doing funeral services. And I've done quite a few in my life. And there was one particular one that I had to do. I did. And I went to visit the family. I'm coming to an end now. I said, tell me about this man. Oh, well, I don't have anything much to say. I said, surely, but it's your father. He's 50 years old. And what? Tell me. He was nice. And what was his passion? What was his passion? He liked decorating. Oh, my God. There's no decoration in heaven. We don't need wallpaper, or painter, and decorators in heaven. And that's all they could say about their father. The total sum of 70-something plus years, all they could say with passion about their father. He liked decorating. What would your legacy be? Have you ever spoken to your children and to your grandchildren and says, we know Dad, Granddad was a grumpy old man. We all can't get grumpy any. But Granddad was always talking about Jesus. Granddad was always encouraging us. Granddad or my dad was always encouraging us to go to church, talking about Jesus. And that's all I remember Granddad or Dad for, or Mom for. What would be your legacy? What baton are you handing on? I pray that this message resonates with all of us. And because he's a God of mercy, it doesn't matter where you are, how far you think you've fallen. He says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. So I pray that before we leave here, God will meet with us personally and minister into our situation. And if we are confused, praise the Lord, because I'll give you clarity. I am the light of the world. I'll get rid of all that confusion. And you'll see the trees from the woods. He says, I will do that. So may God bless you. And may you continue to walk faithfully with him. May you continue to seek his perfect will for your lives. And please don't do what I did, a Jonah, a runner, because he eventually catches up with you along the way. Amen. I'll pray and then we'll sing our last hymn. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you that you're a God of love. You're a God of justice. You're a God who is exclusive. Not exclusive in the wrong way as we think, but exclusive as the kingdom of God is so precious, but yet access is open to all. And Father, we pray that and ask that you continue to give us revelation of Jesus. And Lord, if we are struggling in our lives, Holy Spirit, come and breathe on us the breath of God and fill us with life in you. If we are confused, give us common sense. Give us understanding of your word. We may discern your perfect will in our confusion. And Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the freedom that we have, that we can still declare the word of God. And Lord, we pray that your word will multiply. May your name be glorified. Lord, if I have said anything that is not of you, it's of the flesh. We pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you will erase it immediately from our minds. But that which is of God and from God will be written on the tablets of our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.